You will now open with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 11. We've had a couple of weeks where we've had some topical sermons on a few items, and now we're coming back to the Gospel of Luke. We've been working through the Gospel of Luke, and we finished, 3 weeks ago, we finished a series of sermons on what is called the Lord's Prayer out of Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8 this morning and really discussing over the next 2 weeks, 5 through 8 and 9 through 13, as Jesus continues to teach on prayer. For context, we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and read through verse 13. So now hear the word of our God. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. God, we echo the request of the disciples. Teach us to pray. We are so weak when it comes to prayer. We do not persist as we ought to in prayer. Oh God, strengthen us by your word and encourage our hearts that we might become more and more persistent. Asking and seeking and knocking, knowing that God, you are the one who will ensure that we receive, that we find, and that it will be open to us. And we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to Luke chapter 11, and particularly this section that follows on, as I mentioned earlier, the Lord's, what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, we come to a section. Particularly verses 9 and 10 that tells us that prayer will be answered. Prayer will be answered. That's what it said. I mean, really, in verse 9, we have the command, don't we? I say to you, ask, seek, knock. Do it. Don't be afraid to come. And then the promise is given to us, really twice, in verse 9 and again in verse 10. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And so we have a great promise here, don't we, that prayer will be answered. And to illustrate these truths, our Lord Jesus uses two parables, one in verses 5 through 8 and another in verses 11 through 13. The first, in verses 5 through 8, we'll look at today. Lord willing, the next one we'll look at next Lord's Day. This first one in verses 5 through 8 is commonly called, or has been called, the parable of the friend at midnight, or the persistent friend. The other, in verses 11 through 13, the parable of the good father. But both are given by Jesus to illustrate that God, as the one who answers prayer, is greater than any earthly friend, is greater than any earthly father. And so we can have an encouragement to persist in prayer and to be confident in prayer. We can take verses 9 and 10, as it were, to the bank, knowing that God is going to cash the check that He writes. Ask, seek, knock. You will be heard and it will be answered. And so we are encouraged here. And today we're going to look at this encouragement to persist in prayer, to continue going, to continue asking, and we need that encouragement. Don't we? I know I need that encouragement. Maybe you've got this prayer thing all wrapped up. Not me. I need to be encouraged. I mean, how many of you have in the past devised a plan that you are going to dedicate X time or to dedicate this or that to prayer? And you started well. You even bought a special journal. And you're going to write in this journal and you're going to continue on. And how many of you then, days or weeks or months later, were praying with the same gusto, with the same desire, with the same energy that you had begun to pray with? And I think the reality is that those notebooks, prayer journals, other things may end up abandoned with dust on them, with empty pages. Prayer is not easy. That's why Jesus gives us this encouragement. But He does encourage it. And the reality is it's far easier to begin a habit of prayer than it is to keep it up. And so it's fitting that these two parables that teach here and show us and encourage us to pray, it's fitting that they are included here right after the teaching that our Lord Jesus gives on how to pray. We might say that Jesus gives us the education on prayer, and then He gives us the encouragement to pray. And that's what we have here, an encouragement to pray. And this is the encouragement that I hope you will receive today. I hope that after this, you will go from this place and you will be encouraged in prayer. I pray that for you and myself. I pray that God will make you a praying people, because that's what the church needs. A church that is praying is a church that is filled with power. But a church that is prayerless, nothing. So I pray that God will encourage you this morning as we think about persistence in prayer. And we understand that persistence in prayer is continuing to pray until we have an answer. Persistence in prayer is continuing to pray until we have an answer. And we'll see three things here as we think about persistence and the encouragement that the Lord Jesus gives us to persist in prayer. We are to persist for specific needs, to persist no matter the perceived obstacles, and to persist until we have an answer. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. We are encouraged to persist in prayer for specific needs. We're told of an individual here, and Jesus gives this as an illustration. So suppose which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And here's the picture. The picture is that a friend has come from a long journey. And they have come to a house, and they have come in the middle of the night. They were probably traveling at night because it was too hot in the day. And they come, and they have been traveling for a long time, and they have had nothing to eat, and they are hungry. And hospitality at this time was a given. You, if someone came to your house and needed something, you were to provide it to them. And we have this individual here who is woken up in the middle of the night. Their friend comes, and we learn that they have nothing. The cupboard is bare. There's nothing to set before this person. But he was not going to turn this guest away. So we're told that he goes to another friend at midnight and asks. Now notice the ask in verse 5. "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, don't think that these are loaves like we have today. Thinking, wow, three loaves, that's a lot of food. No, three loaves would have been about enough for one meal, the evening meal. So friend, give me enough, just what I need, not for myself, but for another person. You see, this person doesn't come and ask for themselves. I want this for another person. What a picture, as we think and apply this to prayer, of intercessory prayer, of praying for others, right? That's really, and when you think about your prayer, it should be first for God's glory, for His kingdom, then for others, and then for yourself. It's not that we don't pray and ask God for what we need, but we don't start there. And so here this man comes and he's asking, give me just what I need for one meal because I have a hungry friend back at home. Specific, isn't he? He just doesn't say, give me some food. He says, give me three loaves. And so it is with our needs in prayer. We are to come to God. Now, God knows what we need, doesn't He? And yet God commands us to ask. I've used this illustration before with my children. I know that when my children wake up in the morning, I'm the one that takes them to school. I know they need to eat breakfast. Now, thankfully, they're getting old enough that they get their own breakfast. And that's good. But they're younger. I know they need to eat. But oh, how wonderful it was for them to come to me. Dad, can you get me this cereal? And I'd probably say, what's the magic word? Please, Dad, will you get me this cereal? Yes. Now, I would have gotten them the cereal. I knew they needed it. I'm not going to send them to school hungry. But oh, I love to hear that from my child. And God loves to hear what we need. Specifically, He wants to hear us ask. We need to be specific with God in prayer. You know, we could simply pray, God, do Your will. But God wants us to be specific, doesn't He? We could simply pray, God, heal all the sick. No, we pray, God, heal X person and Y person and be with X person and Y person. Specific. And then we see that in this story, in this parable, He's met with opposition from His friend. And so not only are we encouraged to persist in prayer for specific needs, we are encouraged to persist in prayer no matter the obstacles. And here He has some real obstacles. With God, they're only perceived obstacles. We'll get to that. God is different than any earthly friend. But here are the obstacles that we see in the parable. Notice, Jesus says, your friend's not going to answer you this way, is he? Will he answer from within and say, do not trouble me? This is in the present tense. In other words, what is really being said here is, you're already troubling me, stop it. It's as if this person comes in the middle of the night, knocks on the door, go away, leave me alone, you're bothering me. Don't you know it is the middle of the night? What are you doing? Why are you here? He goes on. The door is now shut. Now, the locks on these doors were not like our locks today. They didn't have codes on their garage door. They could say, just enter the code and come in, go to the fridge, get whatever you need. I'm staying in bed. No, these were heavy bars of wood or iron, and they were put over the door. And to lift that, it would have made a lot of noise. The thud of setting that on the ground. The door is locked. I have gone to the trouble to lock the door. And not only that, my children are in bed with me. It's probably a one-room house. You know, I thought of camping. If you've ever been camping in a tent with kids, you're all in there. And somebody has to get up. Somebody has to go to the bathroom. It's like, please, don't step on anybody. Oh, please. But how do you get out of the tent in the dark without stepping on anybody? So next thing you know, everybody's awake. And nobody wants to go back to sleep. Well, at least the kids. And so the picture here is one in which if I get up, if I move, because we're all sleeping on the same mat, we're all sleeping in the same bed, we're all sleeping in the same room, I'm going to wake my entire family up. And it's probably the case that as they were to come, they were so close to other people that they would wake the whole neighborhood up. Other people are hearing this. What are you doing over there? What's going on? Why are you waking up my family? And he ends with this. I cannot rise and give it to you. He begins with, stop bothering me. And he ends with, go away. The answer is no. No. Now, the story doesn't end there. He doesn't just go away, does he? We're told that he persists. So there were obstacles, though, that he had to persist through. And there are obstacles to our prayers. Now here we see an earthly friend. We'll see a contrast later between God as our heavenly friend and every earthly friend. But we still face obstacles in prayer. Not because God does not desire to give to us, but we still face obstacles. One of them is misunderstanding how prayer works. Now, God is sovereign over all things. I've already mentioned He knows what we need before we ask it. So the question might come, if God is sovereign over all things, if God already knows what I need, why pray? Why bother? There's a book, a great book, and if you want more on this, a great book called If God Already Knows, Why Pray? By Douglas Kelly. Read that book if you want more information. If God already knows, why pray? Well, we are commanded to pray, right? But the thought may creep in, God is sovereign, He knows what we need. Don't bother Him, just let Him do His will. But that's not an understanding, a proper understanding of prayer. You see, God is sovereign, yes. God sovereignly ordains or plans the ends and the means. God uses the prayers of His people to accomplish His sovereign will. Think about that. God is planning to use you to accomplish His sovereign will through your prayers. Now, you might say, well, if I don't pray, will God's sovereign will not be accomplished? No, it will be accomplished. You just won't get the blessing of being used to do it. You're missing out. James says you don't have because you don't ask. And even when you ask incorrectly. Ask, seek, knock. Maybe it's difficulty in prayer, a lack of faith that God will hear us. God is too busy. God has many other things to do than simply answer my silly prayer. It's a very little thing. I'm not going to bother God with this. This man that was going over could have said, well, okay, yeah, my friend is hungry, but you know what? I can go in the morning. I'm not going to go bother this person. But he didn't. He said, I'm going, and I'm going to be a bother. We're going to find out in a moment that the text here says that he was shameless in his persistence. He says, I'm going to bother him. Well, what about God is too holy to hear me? Is God holy? Absolutely. Are you a sinner? Absolutely. And so you might start to think, well, God is so holy, He's not going to hear me, a sinner. Oh, what a mistake that is. That's what Satan is going to tell you. Satan is going to say, you are such a sinner that God will not hear you. You need to say, as Martin Luther said, yes, I agree with you, Satan. I'm a great sinner. But I have a great Savior. And God doesn't hear me because I come representing myself. You see, God hears us because of Jesus. We boldly come before the throne of grace because we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps it's a lack of faith that God will answer us. We'll pray, but I'm not sure that God's going to answer my prayer. I'm not sure that God really cares enough. Let me remind you of who God is. God says, cast your cares upon me. Why? Because I care for you. God is the one who feeds the birds, who clothes the lilies. Won't He take care of you? He will. You can come with confidence. Or perhaps it's a delay in answer. We're not told how long this man stood there knocking at the door. But perhaps it is a delay in answer. That can be one of the obstacles. We can become impatient in prayer. We can begin to think this way. It is no use to pray. There is no benefit in it. That's the temptation. But I want you to remember that the answer to prayer may be long in coming. But even if it's long in coming, it does not mean that it is not on its way. Think of Hannah, who prayed long and hard and finally was blessed with Samuel. Think of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who prayed and prayed and were blessed in their old age with John. Think of the words of Peter, 1 Peter 3:8-9. The Lord, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. The Lord will do what He says that He will do. The reality is that your prayers that you pray today may not be answered for many years to come. The prayers that you pray today may not be answered in your lifetime. But you keep praying. Keep praying. You see, when we start to think, I'm going to stop praying because God is not answering, we put God on our timetable, don't we? Don't do that. Don't put God on our timetable. But keep praying. And so we're encouraged to persist in prayer until we have an answer. Notice the persistence in the parable. Now this man asking for 3 loaves of bread had some nerve, didn't he? I mean, I don't know. You had somebody come over, would you go wake up your neighbors for something? Yes, we live in a different day and age. We probably have things readily available. We have freezers. We have other things. Praise God for all of those. But this man didn't have anything. Bread would be prepared each day. This was a visitor that was coming by surprise. But notice he goes and he has some nerve. He shamelessly woke up his friend. That's the Greek here. The Greek here. Because of his persistence in verse 8. It's as if Jesus is saying, even though he may not rise and give him because he is his friend, he may. But even if he doesn't, he certainly will because of his persistence. His shameless persistence. I don't care who I have to wake up. I'm going to keep knocking. And he was successful in his persistence, wasn't he? We're told, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now notice he doesn't say give him what he wants, but what he needs. What he needs, 3 loaves of bread. And so we also need to be persistent in our prayers. Here is the argument. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. If an earthly friend who may be aggravated if you wake them up in the middle of the night. I know if when I get woken up in the middle of the night, I can be a bit grumpy. I always get out of the bed on the wrong side when I'm woken up in the middle of the night. Let's put it that way. But God, when we come boldly to Him and we persist with Him and we knock, 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 He never responds in that way. And if an earthly friend will give you that, what about a heavenly friend? And what did Jesus say? I have called you friends. Friends. If an irritated person, as was the case here, who said basically, no, stop bothering me, I'm not unlocking the door, I'm not waking up my children, go away, the answer is no. If an irritated friend, even though he said all those things, still would rise up and give as much as the person needed, how much more an infinitely kind God in his response to us? You see, this is the argument from the lesser to the greater. If an earthly friend will do these things, even an irritated earthly friend will do these things, how much more will a heavenly friend? How much more will an infinitely kind God do these things? And He desires to give to us all that we need. But He tells us that we are to persist in prayer. Because He uses the means of our prayer to accomplish His will. We are to come to God and be persistent. Now, if we come and we knock and we persist and call upon God, if God had not told us to do that, it would be presumptuous, wouldn't it? Who would come to God and say, God, give me this, give me that. Give me what I need. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep bothering you. But God has told us to do it. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give Him no rest till He establishes, until He makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Give Him no rest. Now this man who woke up his friend was obviously giving him no rest. But here we're told, give God no rest, particularly when it comes to praying for the kingdom. We are to persist with God in prayer. Not until we have what we want. God doesn't always give us what we want, thankfully. Because if He gave us what we want, we'd be in a mess. But He gives us what we need. And we're to come to Him and persist, as this man did. This man was in a tough spot. I don't know if you've ever had someone show up in the middle of the night unannounced. But here a man did. A friend who had been traveling a long distance. He said, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten, I've been traveling. Do you have anything? Now this friend could have said, you know, everybody's asleep. Just go to bed. I'll get you something in the morning. But he could not. That was not what was expected. That is not what would be required. Hospitality demanded that he feed his friend. But he had absolutely nothing to offer. That's what he says. I have nothing to set before him. And so what does he do? He went out in the middle of the night. He went to his neighbor's home. And he started knocking at the door. Wake up. Open up. I don't care. I know. Your kids are probably asleep. I know the door is locked. But my friend is hungry. And I need to give him something. And even though his friend may have been a bit grumpy, we're not told of the motive here, he got what he needed. That illustrates here verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. I want to remind you of this. You as a Christian, if you are trusting in Christ and are united to Him, you have direct access to God Himself through Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can come into His presence and He hears you. And so I want to encourage you, make use of this great blessing that God has given to you. Don't squander it. Persist in praying specifically for what you need. God knows what you need, but He desires to hear it. Persist in prayer no matter the obstacles, no matter how you feel, no matter what Satan tells you. You're a sinner. God is a holy God. Yes, I come to Him through Jesus, who is my righteousness. Persist in prayer until you have an answer. And don't put God on your timetable. Don't think, God, you have to answer by now. Say, God, You answer in Your timing and according to Your will. And then trust Him to do so. In our membership class that has been ongoing, we learned something, a quote that came out of a book that we're reading that said, faith is simply taking God at His word. Faith is simply taking God at His word. And God tells us in His word, bother me with prayer. Bother me with prayer. Don't give me rest. Persist and I will answer. I want to encourage you with this. As you go to the throne of God, as you go in prayer, do so with great persistence. The night of unanswered prayer may be very long, and your need may be very great, but don't give up. Persist in prayer. And here's the promise. You will get everything you need. Amen. Let us pray. God, You have taught us how to pray, and You have encouraged us to come with that boldness and that persistence, knowing that all who come and ask will receive, all who come seeking will find, all who come and knock, the door will be opened. Help us to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, laying hold of Him by faith and trusting in You, taking You at Your word, and knowing, God, that in Your timing and according to Your will and for Your holy purposes, You will provide all that we need. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.